This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstheeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik, and for the final time with 105.3 The Fan, Mr. Reginald Atitula, welcome to the program, especially you, Reggie.
One more time and with gusto.
One last time. That's from Hamilton.
Yeah, my first guest. What song are you singing?
My first guest is late, so that's probably not. That's off to a bad start.
You said
right?
Guess?
Hmm? Guest.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Guess of what?
Oh, well.
First.
Did you get a run sheet? Did you give him the the run sheet you gave
us?
So you gave him a different run sheet.
I gave him no run sheet. He's flying blind today.
We got a run sheet.
I'm always flying blind.
And at some point today, should we roll out the joke guaranteed to make Reggie leave the fan forever?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe you should.
Is it a dad joke thing?
I might leave too. I'm just saying. I might go with Reggie.
You will. I think, Mike, you will also hate it and then oddly maybe like it at the end.
Jess love it?
No, she hates it.
Okay.
She also hates
that's
it.
That's weird.
But it's crass.
But it is. It's not crass. But it is also a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line from the 817. It's the Reggie Show from the 214. Reggie, please don't go. Though, interestingly enough, the follow-up text is a continuation of that that just says go.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like that undercuts the message just a little bit.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there.
From the 972, gonna miss you, Reggie. I'll try to tune in and hear you where you go sometime.
Don't do that.
Will you tell everybody where they can find you again?
I'll be in Houston, Sports Radio 610.
What time?
10 to 2.
What's the name of the show?
So that's In the Loop.
Oh.
What is it called?
In the Loop.
Oh, good. Better than what I heard.
I thought it should be. I still think it should be Atitula adjustment.
I thought he said in the loo, which I thought was like British bathroom.
Yes, Mike.
But the P
that is
makes a big difference on that show.
Again, that would be topical if we're talking about the loo.
All right.
This is how you plan on starting the show, right?
Yes, pretty much. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. What about them?
Thank you. The defensive disguises of Mike Zimmer. That's specifically what I want to go through because you guys played the audio yesterday of Greg Maddux and Barry Bonds talking about the same at bat and the adjustments they made along the way, which ones were successful, which ones weren't. So I was really intrigued by that concept, and I thought we could probably dive into this as well. And there is an interesting article, I believe it's in the Dallas Morning News, that talks more about this. And you see some of the quotes from the players. Their disguise now, this is from Jalen Brooks. So he's talking about like what he sees. Their disguise now is insane. Quinn had some disguises, but Zimmer's are pretty good. I got to give him full credit. It's really good. It's a lot of little things. And so I wanted to start by talking about Micah Parsons in terms of the disguises. You can see him happening at a couple of different places, but there are disguises at all three levels of the defense. But Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, he jumped in there as well. Because remember, they're like the ones who have mostly seen this so far, except for, I guess, the Rams some. The disguise is real. It really is. They mask things well. There are defensive fronts where they show you something to draw your attention, and then pressure comes from someplace else. I think Dan Quinn, I think most people really agree that Dan Quinn did a good job here. I know it didn't end well, but are you excited when you hear other coordinators from on the team, other players talking about these disguises are really hard to figure out, and that's who they see every day? That is an intriguing aspect that you might add to the defense that I don't know if we felt like Dan Quinn was best known for.
Yeah, the line from Schottenheimer that I really liked a lot was, it's been great work for us because last year it was blocking up all five down speed rushers, and this year it's more challenged to block up all the different overload blitzes that they have. And like that's something I don't think a lot of teams have what the Cowboys had last year. And all five down speed rushers, where it was just like, all right, you know, we're going to do that. Most teams kind of have what's going on now, and I think that's going to help Dak for one, but I think it's a unique style defense that will not only help Micah, but it's going to help more guys across the board. It's going to help DeMarcus Lawrence a little more because the quarterback's going to be sitting back there going, okay, I got this that I have to look at. And DeMarcus Lawrence might have a one-on-one that he can absolutely take advantage of. So I do like this. I don't want to get too really far into Mike Zimmer has just changed and revolutionized football. Sure. Because Mike McCarthy said he was going to do that. And we were like, okay, what's new? And he's like, same old stuff. But I do like that over time, Mike Zimmer, when he was with Parcells, went from a 4-3 to a 3-4. He said, I've never coached this before, but I'll call it and let me learn it. And so he learns it, and he does a really good job of incorporating and implementing both. So it's a very adaptable type of defense to what the opponent is. Whereas I felt last year with Dan Quinn in the last couple of years, it was, we're going to overwhelm you with our pass rush. But if you got anything that combats that or counters that, like a counter run, we're screwed. And I don't think that's going to be the case with Mike Zimmer.
And then you hear from Zimmer himself, who in the nicest possible way, it seems like he's kind of like, oh, you just wait. We're going to do more. Because he said, once I start feeling comfortable about where I think they understand where they're going to be, then I'll start with some of the disguises. So I appreciate that, and that feels like a fundamental of coaching. Hey, I'm not going to show you the tricked up part of what you're supposed to be learning until you learn,
show me that you can do it.
Yes, the actual part of what you're supposed to be doing.
And that does go to one of my favorite things that we've talked about with George Teague and Darren Woodson is once you trust somebody, Mike was talking about this in pitching. You trust Greg Maddux to walk up onto the mound and know what he's supposed to do and then go, you know what? I'm going to challenge on this one. I'm not going to do it every pitch, but I'm going to challenge on this pitch. And that's where the Darren Woodson and George Teague would drop the, hey, I'm going to go make a play. You do this because you know what the defense is supposed to be doing in this situation, and I have just enough bend in it to allow me to go do something that I know the rules, but I'm going to do something that's a little out of the box that they're not going to expect. And coach is probably going to be like, you know what? That was a great call on that. So once they learn that, understand it, understand why. Mike has been talking about that all camp. I didn't know why we were shifting this way so that I could do this. Now we're doing a lot more of that, and I'm learning a lot more at the linebacker spot.
And even after the joint practices, Sean McVay jumped in there and said Zimmer was doing a great job of mixing things up, and it looked different than what he had seen in the past, but maybe more similar to what Zimmer did as a head coach in Minnesota.
And here's what I like. When stuff like this happens, I think it's exciting and it's fun for a team at first. Then a team gets used to something and is like, that's how we do things.
Yeah.
He's got to keep developing and changing through the season. He's got to keep evolving this defense throughout the entire season. It can't be something where it's predictable by the end of the year.
So it's different, if I'm understanding this, for 21 to 28-year-olds on the Dallas Cowboys, it's very different. Like, oh, I've only had one coordinator. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Is this going to be amazing to all the teams that have been coaching against Mike Zimmer for 40 years?
I don't think so, because Sean McVay said it is more of a similar style than what he saw in Minnesota. He said similar, but not the same.
I'm sure there's nuances. You got to mix it up a little bit. He doesn't have the same schemes like he did with Bill Parcells or 5 years or 6 years ago. But it's so that's the
and
only thing. That,
and you don't have the same talent sometimes that you had whenever you were at a different place.
I just want to be careful on building up something that I'm like, yeah, it'll be a little bit different maybe for Cowboy fans. It's very different for the Cowboys players right now, but I don't think it's going to be a shock to the NFL that Mike Zimmer's running defenses.
No, not at all. And doing defensive switches. I don't think anybody said that either. I think what the point is, I'm encouraged that it seems like he adjusts better on the fly than perhaps your previous defensive coach as well. At least I hope that's the case.
Yeah, my understanding was that the defense last year was based a lot on your talents and what you can do. And we're going to maximize that. And you should maximize everybody's usefulness for whatever business you're running, whatever defense you're running, whatever team game you're playing. You should maximize that. But that was kind of the basis of it. the design, the layout, what the combating something that we know is coming at us, or they're doing this to us right now and we can't stop it. How do we stop it? I trust Mike Zimmer can do that.
Sure.
Over his history, over his career. Now, the other side of it is I hope that the offense is explosive enough to set those two things apart. And we're looking at 34-14 type games, because I would love that. In Minnesota, it often felt like you were in this battle offensively to get anything going, because they like to run the football with right. Dalvin Cook up there and Adrian Peterson. So, like, that's I am hoping that this Cowboys offense can be just as explosive to combat what you're hoping is holding teams under 17 points most games.
Now, we're the home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers, and there was, well, the actual big club game was less encouraging. But let's go to cut number 7. Those Vandy boys are back at it again.
The 1-2 from Leiter. Off speed, got him, looking. 2-2, swung on and missed. The wind up, the pitch, swing and a miss. Quick wind up, the pitch, swing and a miss. His 62nd pitch of the night. Swing and a miss. Jack Leiter, 11 straight strikeouts to start this ball game.
Now, I'm not saying that anybody else has to be in the same mindset that I am, but I started to look for things to be excited about the Rangers in the future. Whether it's Cody Bradford, Jack Leiter, Kamar Rocker, whatever it is that you think you look forward to in the future with this team. And so it's just one night. But I thought it was an encouraging bounce back after a lengthy layoff for Jack Leiter.
Pretty much my baseball nuggets the rest of the way. What's today, the 16th of August?
Yes.
They're just going to be about the future of the Rangers. That it's just going to be about 2025 through 2029. 2024, the competitive part of it, to me, has passed.
Yeah.
They had their chance. They were 3.5 games back at the trade deadline, and that is dead and gone. The Astros have taken off. You've gone in the totally opposite direction. So now I do think it's fun that we are going to follow. I'm not saying like it's super fun. I'd rather be in a playoff race.
Sure.
But we're going to follow Walter Pennington. We're going to follow Cody Bradford, the Vandy boys, Teodo. I'm going to talk about those guys because that's the future of the Rangers. If 2025 through 2027 is going to be different than 2024, it's going to be Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker. It's going to be Wyatt Langford getting better in the outfield as a hitter. Like, those are the things that are going to have to happen for the Texas Rangers. So it's time to concentrate on those guys.
What about Section 133? How are we going to?
They did a great job.
You liked it?
Yesterday. They did a great job yesterday. They brought energy and life to the stadium. Great job, Section 133. You'd love to see that because I don't think it ever will.
Think it's ever going to become an everyday thing?
No, what I'm saying is that it would start bleeding into the whole audience.
Okay. Gotcha.
They do a phenomenal job. It is awesome. But Texas fans, Ranger fans, Cowboy fans, for the most part, the people that go to the games, they've only gone to games in Arlington or Dallas. They've never been to a Boston Red Sox game in Boston, or they've never been to a game. They don't know what real those crazy places. They have no clue what it's like to go to a Chiefs game or to go to a Seattle game. So they don't know what they can only compare it to. So like Stars hockey playoff is no. All right, go to a Boston Bruins or go to a Buffalo Sabres playoff hockey game and then compare it to a Stars playoff game. And you tell me we have the same environment. Who was it that we lost to this year in playoffs in hockey? It was up north, Edmonton.
I've quit on it. Yeah.
Okay. They blew us out of the water with their fans because it was Edmonton because it was Connor McDavid. Yeah. So you're watching that. You're like, oh, my gosh.
And then I think about being at a Red Sox game, like something happens in the bottom of the third and your people are freaking out. And here you're just like, oh, well, it's a third inning.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, live from Oxnard on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good. Now, we didn't get an opportunity to talk about this a couple days ago, and I've been meaning to bring this up with you. What do you think about Jerod Mayo's policy of if you get in a fight, then during a training camp practice, then if you're a starter, you have to play a whole preseason game. And if you're not, you don't get to play in the game at all. What do you think that would be a good motivation for people?
I don't think guys would think about that in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to process that, right?
That's true. That is a good point.
And if you're, you know, very emotional and it's like, okay, should I do this or not? Right? Oh, these are the consequences. So, I mean, you know, McCarthy basically pointed out if guys, you know, get in a fight, you're taken out of the practice. So I don't know if that's a deterrent or what, but for young guys, you know, trying to make the team, I think that you probably would keep that in mind, right?
I'm thinking about it before every single snap. I'm like, I do not want to play in this game. If I'm a vet, I'm like, I do not want to play in this preseason game every snap. I'm probably telling my vet neighbors next to me too. Hey, don't do anything dumb, you dummy.
I don't know if I've told you this story, but I think it was 86. So it was after the Bears won. No, maybe 85. Anyway, the Cowboys were playing a preseason game at Texas Stadium, and it's hot as hell, as we know. And Randy White got in a fight, and he ripped off one of their offensive linemen's helmet and bonked him on the head with it, right? And got thrown out of the game. And when you ask Randy about it, he goes, well, it was preseason. It was hot. I didn't even want to play in that game.
Exactly. Move on. Let's get
Move on. Let me get out of here.
Mickey, I'm kind of curious how, if you got a chance to talk with Mozzie yesterday, knowing that Jordan Phillips is coming into the fold. And
yeah.
Did he like, there's no way that guy's taking my job or anything like, was there anything like that? What was
no,
his take
I think
on
he
that?
He recognized bringing in some a veteran presence. I mean, they didn't really have any veteran presence at the nose tackle. And I think, you know, he used the old cliche, iron sharpens iron. And
yes.
It'd be good to have a veteran guy in there. But it's like, I mean, he intimated during the interview that, you know, in no way am I surrendering being a starter. So he's got to continue to play, and he's got to continue to improve. And maybe watching a veteran will help him out. At least last year he had Jonathan Hankins here, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have that. And they brought in a guy, let's face it, 6'6", 341. He'd be the biggest guy on the defense. And
yeah.
They needed some bulk in the middle. So if it threatens him, maybe it pushes him. And that would be a good thing.
I know Donovan Wilson bounced out and then back into practice. And Brandon Cooks might have had
he had some knee soreness.
Yeah.
And they were being very cautious.
Okay.
It was like, okay, you're out. You're not playing on, you know, Friday. So it's just a walkthrough practice, right? You're not playing on Saturday. Sunday's a day off. Monday's a day off. So before they do anything, it'll be Tuesday. So I'm thinking that they just said, okay, let's just rest this week. We sort of need him, right, without CD around?
Yes. But you also think CD will, without question, will be back for the regular season.
I just can't imagine he's forfeiting $1 million by missing that first game. $1 million.
Yeah. I mean,
we toss that around like it's $1,000, right?
Can I throw this back at you?
Yes.
Do you think Jerry's willing to go 0-2 like 1993 to prove his point?
Yeah, and they didn't go 0-2 because Emmitt Smith wasn't there. The whole team did not play well in those first two games.
Because Emmitt wasn't there.
That's yeah, they mean. Weren't they weren't motivated, please.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have Emmitt there to be like,
yeah.
You guys.
But it was good, though, you know, and Charles Haley puts his helmet through the wall in the locker room, and it's like, okay, we better sign him. But again, I think they had some other some Super Bowl hangover going on those first two games.
What is the plan at the moment with Phillips Lawson this weekend? Do we have a good layout?
Well,
on
they hadn't arrived yet, so I assume they're getting here today. Yeah,
Kevin's you've been signed, you should be there,
right? Well, traded for and signed, right? And When I was writing about it, you know, and it was like, I just assumed they were going to be here today, but for what? Because this afternoon they're leaving for Vegas.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And they're not going to play in the game. So do you bring him here and have him working out with some of the trainers that are left behind and, you know, start ramping them up so they can get in pads and practice next week? But again, they're not going to do anything probably today. And if they're here, it's a walkthrough. So they're watching. They're not playing on Saturday. Sunday and Monday are days off. So I think it would be more about, you know, seeing what kind of shape they're in. Now, at least Phillips was in training camp, right, with the Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawson was here the first time, and I think he might have overstretched his ask for, like, what he was going to make. And then I think the second time around, it was like, okay, I'll take that. It's August 15th, and I don't have a job. So we'll see how that one works out.
You said ask with a K, right?
What's yeah, ask?
No, I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
I've been around the players too long.
I mean, I don't hate it. I really don't.
The Dak Prescott contract. I know he talked a lot about it.
Well, he was asked about it.
Yeah.
It's not like he brought it up.
You don't think he goes up to the podium and goes, guys,
let's talk about this contract.
Here's where we are.
Does he seem a little looser than in past years to you?
I think he's very comfortable. I don't know if it's looser. But yeah, he seems at ease with himself. It's not like he's sitting there, you know, putting all this pressure on himself or worrying about that, you know, at least outwardly worrying about the contract. He just seems normal. He seems Dak Prescott. I mean, after he did his deal, he was walking to do something else, and I was walking with him, and I just wanted to ask him what he thought about all these young guys that they have to rely on if they're going to get better this year. And he said, that's funny you ask, because we were just talking about that. And he said, I was telling these guys, you know, make sure you get every rep you can get. Make sure you steal reps, and don't have it in mind that just because somebody's missing, you know, I'm getting this opportunity. He said, make sure you're practicing so when those guys come back, you're not just saying, okay, it's your job. You make them earn it back. And I thought that was very interesting. And, you know, he went through that, right? His rookie year. I mean, all of a sudden two quarterbacks get hurt and he's the starting quarterback. And, you know, he said in my mind was that when Tony gets back, I want to not say, hey, good job, Dak. You went 4-4. He goes, no, I wanted to win, and I wanted to win the job. And he said that's what these young guys should be thinking at this point. And, you know, we're going to see a bunch of them again tomorrow night. It's going to be a young guy's deal while the Raiders looks like they're going to play all their starters that are healthy, because they got to figure out their quarterback situation.
Ooh.
Aiden O'Donnell.
O'Connell.
Yeah. Neil
sorry.
O'Donnell.
Yeah, and Gardner Minshew.
Let's go.
And that hasn't been decided yet.
Yeah, that's a pretty terrible quarterback competition. But then again, Sam Darnold is now in the driver's seat to be a starting quarterback. So maybe it could be worse. If you get a chance when you talk with Dak again, will you ask him if it's true that Jordan Lewis crossed him up and dropped him in a pickup basketball game?
Like recently?
Or yeah, that's what Jordan told us.
When we had Jordan Lewis on while we were out there at camp, Jordan Lewis was like, Dak will never admit it, but I did cross him up and drop him in a game, and so in a pickup game. So we want to know if Dak will actually admit it or not.
Not here.
I don't know where it took place. Yeah, he didn't explain exactly when it happened.
Okay.
But it could be a fun, different kind of question that nobody asked him. So hopefully we're helping out. All right.
I might get that sideways look, you know?
You know, I think everyone gets it at one point or another from him. Thank you.
You want me to take one for the team, right?
There you go.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mick. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you next week.
on Monday, I guess.
That's right. Yes.
All right. See you guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. It is also a shout out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved, also can hit us up on the Twitch and the YouTube from the 214. This is Kyle from Dallas. I want to shout out my girl and me. She's pregnant for the first time. She's the love of my life, and we are so excited. That is outstanding.
What about this option today, Kevin? As we do have the Odyssey app, you can go push the little button, and you can leave a message to Reggie. You can give your Reggie shout-outs today.
Does it work?
And we'll listen to all of them, and then we'll play them. Yes, it works, Mike, but we'll listen to them, and we'll get those out there. And Reggie will hear every single message.
You're such a jerk.
For all the all the Tolos out there that want to tell you how much they love you, Reggie.
Do they just want to hear the message? Do you think Reggie wants them to sing to him?
Yeah,
like, happy birthday?
You can do. Or, I want creativity. This is a time that radio needs creativity.
Hey, did you guys hear what I heard during that interview?
What'd you hear?
Emmitt Smith was overrated in 1993.
He said they would have lost those games even with Emmitt Smith, which I'm going to have to go back and revisit. That is,
I think,
not
they
the
lost 13-10 to the Buffalo Bills in week two. Now, I know that they were going to play them again in the Super Bowl, but Emmitt Smith that year played in 14 games.
Yeah.
Started 13 because the first game that he came back week three, he didn't start. Led the league in rushing, led the league in yards per attempt, led the league in yards per game, led the league in yards per scrimmage, and he only started 13 of the 16 games. He also was the MVP of the NFL.
Look, I wouldn't say that. I'm going to have to go back and look at this. But the way I remember it, I was a kid.
I feel like Mickey's looking at this only one way and one way only, through the eyes of, I can't believe you'd give up $1 million. Wait a second. Does anybody believe the Cowboys have a chance if CeeDee Lamb doesn't play against the Cleveland
it's
Browns?
It's a lot tougher. Lot tougher.
A chance, maybe.
I give everybody a chance,
but
all
like,
the time.
Yeah.
Nah,
but you're in deep doo-doo.
Yes.
No, yeah, it's an arduous road.
That's the other side, like, that Mickey won't look at. That's the agent's thing. Are you willing to automatically lose the first game?
Yeah.
Are you willing to automatically lose the second game? Are you willing to almost automatically go 1-3 to start the year because over 4 weeks you're like, you won't forfeit $1 million. You forfeit the season if we're not there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Hey, I loved what Cody Bradford did.
Me too.
And a few other guys. Next.
The pitch. Smith swings. It's a number. First base side. Off the mound is Duran. He throws to first, and he got him to win the ball game. Josh Smith takes his helmet and slams it down in frustration. As the game comes to an end, the Twins win it by the score of 3-2.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right, so I'm going to give a little excuse for last night, but it doesn't matter because you're 10 games under 500.
Yeah.
So those are sometimes, you know how in the NBA you have scheduled losses?
Yeah.
Sometimes because of the trip coming home, most of the guys got home around 3 to 4 a.m. And you could tell there was a little bit of fatigue. And then Corey Seager had the day off because of the fatigue issue, because of being tired. Well, that'll happen in a season. That's why right now, the Cleveland Guardians have 49 losses, and the Orioles and the Yankees each have 50 losses. Now, they're all three going to make the playoffs pretty easily. Sure. But there's games where you just have a beat-up bullpen. Your team is super tired from travel. And that's why most teams are going to lose approximately 60 games. Not all of them are scheduled losses, but you're not going to play well. And then there's time. But the tough thing is you just don't have any time for that anymore.
Yeah.
But last night, Kirby Yates, I felt like, didn't have his good stuff. But that was his third game to pitch in four nights. And the first game he pitched on Monday, he threw an inning in two thirds because of kind of lack of bullpen. Starting pitchers are not going deep in games. I thought this was amazing last night. Cody Bradford, before I get to how good he was, that was the third time a starting pitcher has gotten out in the sixth inning in the last 19 games.
What?
So that's why when we're watching possibly David Robertson or Kirby Yates, sometimes not pitch their best right now is they're being asked to pitch multiple innings at times in games, and then they get a day off, and it's like, pitch again, and it's like people don't realize how much that takes out of you. Then you give them the lack of sleep and stuff like that, and they also are 36 and 39, if I have their ages right. I believe Yates is 36. And
yeah, older players. Yeah,
so they're not – you can kind of bounce back from lack of sleep a little bit better in your, let's say, 20s than in your mid to late 30s. So excuses, excuses, excuses. Shut up, Bassick. I get it.
Shut up, Bassick.
But
all these excuses.
Now I'm going to go to the positive. Yes, they lost again. I get it. They have a 0.6% chance of making the playoffs. So it's down from one.
Doesn't even that feel high?
Honestly, honestly, yes. But Cody Bradford coming back from the injured list, and yesterday not having a good curveball. His curveball has been so good for him this year. He didn't even throw it last year. So yeah, that's the new pitch that when he was 3-0 to start the year, fastball location, changeup, that was there. It even improved from last year. But then he added that pitch, and that became the pitch that you're like, wait a second, this is changing things here, because it's not just a get me over breaking ball that he had in 2023. This is a, I won't say swing and miss, swing and miss, but a get me out.
Yeah.
And so yesterday it was crappy. He had no breaking ball at all.
Is that ever, I feel like this is the direction you're kind of going. Is that the most impressive performances from you from pitchers, not just Bradford, but pitchers in general, when you're like, you can see at least one of their pitches is not working.
Yes.
They're still effective.
Yeah, when you are like, I don't have that today.
Yeah.
It's gone. Well, okay, are you going to now give up six or seven runs in three innings? Are you going to figure out a way how to fight and battle? And he fought and he battled. That second inning wasn't a good inning. Now, probably would have scored anyways, but Leody Taveras didn't help out the situation by missing the ball in the outfield when it would have been... It was a crazy bounce. There's nothing he could have done about that. But then it would have been a triple, and then he turned it into a triple error slash little league home run. But from that point on, the third inning through the sixth inning, Cody Bradford kind of said, I'm not really going to throw my breaking ball anymore. I got to work on great fastball location because I'm not going to be able to fool him with a third pitch. I'm going to go fastball changeup. And he was able, and the Minnesota Twins are a solid team. They're 68-53. Now, they're missing Carlos Correa. They're always missing Byron Buxton. I don't even count him as a major league player pretty much because of how much he misses. So, yes, he's very good. He never plays. So I can't say, and they're missing this person. Well, I would be like, man, and the Rangers are missing Jacob DeGrom this year. Yeah, we all know. Like, he's going to miss most of the season. And hopefully Jacob DeGrom pitching well. Saturday, I think he throws the live hitters. Hopefully we see him.
It might be today, right?
Oh, is it today? For some reason, I thought it was Saturday.
Maybe it got moved back, but I think Boch had said today.
Okay, so now we're looking at Jacob DeGrom pitching in September, which could be fun to watch. I get we're going to move on to college football. We're going to obviously move on to Dallas Cowboys football. Most likely, by the way, this Friday, there ain't many Fridays left, Ranger fans of baseball nuggets, because once that they're out of a playoff race and doing what they're doing, we understand Cowboys Monday and Cowboys Friday and NFL Monday and NFL Friday. It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when it comes to really talking baseball. Coming up soon, probably once we get to September is when that will change. But Cody Bradford was great yesterday. And then when he had nothing left, he had nothing in the sixth inning. But he still figured out a way. He figured out a way how to get three outs. He had runners at first and second in the inning, and he got out of it, tied it two against Ober, who I'll give him credit. That's a really good pitcher, like playing fantasy baseball and stuff. I'm going to remember him next year because sometimes...
Not just because he's super tall.
Yeah, but because he's super good. Like he's one of these guys that I think is now going to be... If the All-Star game was September 1st, he would 100% be on the All-Star team. But the All-Star game was in mid-July, and his numbers since that point, he has an ERA, I think for 2 months now, under two. Like, he is dominating right now, and he dominated the Texas Rangers for the most part except that first inning. So, now, you guys mentioned it, Cody Bradford And then you mentioned the farm guys, and you mentioned what Vanderbilt boys did. And this is really important now. Cody Bradford is probably going to be your number three starter next year. It will probably be Jacob deGrom as your number one because he should be completely and fully healthy, yeah, ready to go for 2025. Tyler Mahle, who I asked a couple people about Mahle yesterday before the game when I get there a little bit early, and they said, look, we're really impressed with what he's doing, but we know, and they said we know, not think, they said we know he's going to throw 2 to 3 miles an hour harder next year.
Okay.
That this is still kind of part of rehab. He's not completely back. You're seeing, they think, 80% of what Mally's going to be like when 2025 happens. So that's a positive thing to hear. We'll see when we see. But they're saying, hey, there's more to him than what you're seeing right now. And right now, what we are seeing and what you're seeing is pretty good. I think Cody Bradford, there's still more time. I think he's pitching himself into the number three starting pitcher. Now, people will ask me about Nathan Eovaldi. People will ask me about John Gray. Eovaldi has that kind of player option, which I don't think he's going to opt into. I don't think. He has to first get to 156 innings pitch for that to be available at $20 million. But I don't even think he would opt into that because I think he would get a multi-year contract from somebody, a 2 or 3 year deal. I'm not saying a 5 year deal, but would you take 1 for 20 or would you take 2 for 36 or would you take 3 for 52? Most likely we would rather take, and he'll probably be the same way, I'd rather take 2 for 36 or I'd take 3 for 52 rather than 1 for 20, especially at where his age, yeah, is and then his somewhat injury history. So I don't know if Nathan Eovaldi is going to be back. And this is a scary thing. Now that they're 10 games back of the Astros and they're pretty much completely out of a playoff position, even when it comes to wild card, you'd have to pass up almost all of the American League to get into the situation. So this does keep bringing up the situation of, in late August, will the Rangers start waiving players for free pickups for other teams so they can save money for...
Okay.
Do you feel like you only have 3 guaranteed starters next year right now?
Well, I would say that they're banking on or thinking about Teodoro. Even though he's still having major command issues. Okay. He's walking way too many people in the minor leagues.
Sounds like 3 that you feel like are guaranteed.
But okay. Jack Leiter, possibly Dane Dunning. Urania might be, I'm not saying easy, but he could be, you could sign him back and have him as a swing
still
guy
some
again.
Question mark there. Yeah. Okay.
But right. I think they're going to be banking on those last 2 spots being either cheap replacements or being your Jack Leiter, Kamar Rocker, Teodoro type of guys.
We'll probably talk about this next week or whenever the heck you want. If you just start releasing players to save money and Chris Young's not under contract and Bruce Bochy doesn't have to put up with any nonsense, like, what is the front office and the management going to look like?
I don't know. Those are good questions that obviously I have zero answers to. But now that we're at August 16th, we are approximately 2 weeks away or less from finding out if the rumors from, was it John Paul Morosi? From multiple people. This is not from just one person. Yeah. If they become true, we will find out, not next Friday, but the next Friday, we will find out if the Rangers, and I'm really hoping they don't do this. I'm going to give you my opinion. I can't imagine this would send a good message to Seager and his agent, to Simeon and his agent, to, I know Josh Young's not close to free agency or anything, but kind of maybe what you still think is a core that could do some damage in 25 and hopefully 26. I don't think for veteran guys, if they were to waive, let's just say, Andrew Heaney and other guys, if that would be a message that you want to give your players and agents in the offseason.
I'm with you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with AEW superstar Darby Allin and just might have another special guest rolling in. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.